Good morning. It's great to be with you today. We're here to worship the Lord, and that's what we're focused on now, looking at His Word. We're going to be looking at a very simple subject this morning. It's the subject of how to make a good decision. And of course, there's a lot we could cover under this topic. There's things that were talked about this morning in the Bible class about heaven, about how before Jesus did any major thing, He spent a lot of time in prayer. And there are things like that we could talk about, but this morning I just want us to focus on some of the most foundational things that we need to keep in mind whenever we do make any decision in life. When I was 18 years old, I think, I decided not to get married because I thought, well, I want to go to South Africa and preach, and I think it'll be easier if I'm not married. And I think that was a good decision. When I was 28, I decided, I think I need to get married. I need help. And I think that was a good decision. And about a year ago, I decided I wanted to marry Brittany. Now, she hadn't decided she wanted to marry me yet. But I think that was a good decision. And I think that these are good decisions because of the thought that goes behind it. What are the reasons behind it? When we look at making decisions, our decisions are going to be determined by our goals in life. That's what is behind every decision. There's some sort of motivation. We have a result we're trying to achieve through our decisions. And sometimes we may not know what our goals are. We haven't really put a lot of thought into it. But if we don't know what our goals are, then we don't really have anything to drive our decisions in a good direction. Sometimes we just make decisions as we go because our goals are just very short term. Well, I'm hungry. I don't like this person. I don't want to be nice to them. But then we're nice to them the next day because now our goal is I want to stop feeling guilty about how I treated them yesterday. And so we have these short-term goals that don't give us any good direction in life. We need to know what our direction is. What are our goals in life that we want to accomplish? And if our goals are wrong, then our decisions are going to be bad decisions. We're not going to make good decisions if what we're trying to accomplish isn't good. But if our goals are right, if our motivation is right, we're going to make good decisions. Now, of course, this is based on having good knowledge as well, but if our motives are right, we're going to be gaining that knowledge, aren't we? And so our foundational level of how do you make a good decision is what are your goals in life? Do you know? Have you decided? What do you want to accomplish with everything that you do? We have some examples in the Bible about decisions that different people have made. And I was talking to my cousin Philip. He preached a sermon like this recently, apparently. And he said he used the illustration of Balaam, looking at what his motivation was and the decisions that he made. And that's a pretty powerful illustration. I like Lot as an illustration of a bad decision, mainly because he's in the New Testament called a righteous man. He was somebody who really did love God, who was trying to serve Him, but when he made this decision about where he was going to move, he did not consider things properly. He was focused on the wrong things, and let's take a look at what he was focused on. Turn to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, we'll read from verse 5. And it says here, "Now Lot, who went with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. And the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling then in the land. So Abram said to Lot, 'Please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left.' Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord." Lot had to make a decision of where he's going to move. And that's a decision that comes up to everybody sometime in life, doesn't it? And we'll take a look in a little bit about what his motivation was, as we just read. What was he looking at when he made that decision? But we know what the outcome of his decision was, don't we? He lost his whole family. Everybody in his family died in the destruction of Sodom except for two daughters, and they ended up being just as wicked as the people of Sodom. They were corrupted while they were there. It was a terrible decision. So why did he make that decision? We'll look at that in a second. But then we have an example of a very good decision in Daniel. In Daniel 1 and verse 8, after Daniel and these other young men have been transported to Babylon, they've been captured. They're servants of Babylon now. They're being trained in the new language, in new culture. They're given new names, and they're given new food to eat. And Daniel's gone along with everything, except now this food, he says that this isn't right. This is not according to the law that God has given us to eat this food or drink this wine. And so in Daniel 1 and verse 8, it says, "But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself." He made up his mind. He knew what his goal was in life, and he said, "This does not fit." And so he made up his mind, "I'm not going to eat that food." Now, he didn't go to the commander and say, "You know, I'm not eating that food." No, he sought permission, didn't he? But what if the permission hadn't been granted? He still wasn't going to eat it. He had made up his mind because he knew that this was the right decision. And what was the outcome? Now, we think, well, this is talking about what you eat. What you have for lunch can't have a real big impact on your life, can it? But it did. He became blessed by God. He and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they all made that decision. And God blessed them far above the others. They became great blessings to the kingdom of Israel as they're living there in Babylon. They're able to be high officials in the kingdom and look out for the people. God was able to use them because of this simple decision. Of course, it wasn't the only one, but you see that this is a decision driven by the proper goals, the proper motivation. So if we compare Lot's decision with Daniel's decision, what do we see being different here? What were they thinking about? Well, Lot, It says that he looked out over the valley of the Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere. It was good for his cattle. Lot was thinking about his cattle. He was thinking about his income, his money, his investments. Now, is it wrong to think about your income? No, it's not. But if that's your primary thing that you're thinking about when you make a decision, it is wrong. You're going to come up with the wrong decision. That is not your main motivator if you're going to make a good decision. Daniel, on the other hand, he thought about his God. That's where he was focused. I'm not going to defile myself. I'm going to please God. I'm going to do what God wants. Lot, now it doesn't tell us this, but I imagine as he moved into the city, he was thinking about living an easier life. He'd been living in tents for a long time. And if you go to the rural areas in South Africa, you can see life is a bit harder than if you go to the city. In the morning, the young ladies get up and they walk a long distance in order to take a 5-gallon bucket, fill it up with water, carry it on their head all the way home, instead of just turning on the tap, right? That's a lot easier when you live in the city. Now, I don't know that they had running water in Sodom. They might have, but I'm sure that there are other things that made life easier in the city than living in tents. Maybe his daughters wanted, you know, a little bit of an easier time. And that seems to be something that he would have considered there. But Daniel wasn't thinking about an easy life. It would have been easy just to go along and eat the food like all the other young men were doing. Why make trouble? You're already, you know, taken out of your country. You're already a captive. They can do anything they want to you. Why make trouble? But no, he wanted to live a righteous life. That was his motivation. That's what he was thinking about. I want to be righteous in the sight of God, even if it's harder on me. And so that's what led him to make a good decision. And Lot, I imagine, was thinking about being part of society as well. When the angels came to bring Lot out of Sodom, where was he? He was sitting in the gate of the city with the other men. He was becoming part of the society, an important person. And that's something that we can want to be. We want to be maybe getting involved in politics. Well, it's not necessarily wrong to get involved in politics unless you're in Africa, maybe. I don't think you can be faithful to the Lord and be in politics in Africa. Brother Larry will disagree with me because he had a friend who he said was very faithful and involved in politics. And I hope he's right. But I've never seen one in South Africa. All the people who get involved in politics leave the Lord. They want to be important in society. We can be that way with business. We can be that way with a lot of things. But if that's what our focus is, we're going to make bad decisions. But Daniel, even though he became a high official in the kingdom, that was not his goal. His goal was to be part of God's people. He was someone who cared about what God wanted and what was good for God's people. He was looking out for them. God was able to use him because of that. And do you see what the difference is in these two things? One is focused on the flesh. One is focused on the spirit. And that is the two main mindsets that are going to lead to us making our decisions in life. We can have a mindset on the flesh. As we read this morning from Philippians chapter 3, Paul talked about how those whose minds are set on the flesh are enemies of God. So their God is their belly. They're focused on this life. They're focused on the things of this world. But he says, our citizenship is in heaven. We are not to be focused on those things. Does that mean we can't think about what we're going to eat? No. But that should not be what drives our decisions in life. Jesus said, don't worry about your food or your clothing, right? Those things will be added to you. Seek the kingdom first. We need to be put away this mindset of focusing on the flesh, the things of this life. Turn to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 5 through 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 8, Paul writes, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If we are focused on this life, if we're focused on the things that are about just about this life only, then we cannot please God. We're not able to. We cannot subject ourselves to the things of God. We have to focus on the things of the Spirit, the things that are of heaven. And that is the second mindset. Our minds can be set on the Spirit. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 5, we see this goal that Paul had, that we should all have. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 9, talking about being at home, or being absent, being dead or being with the Lord, being dead and with the Lord, or being here in the body, he says in verse 9, therefore we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Is that your goal? Is that your ambition? To be pleasing to God. Because if that is your ambition, that's going to decide what decisions you make. That's going to drive every decision, if that's truly your ambition. And you're going to make good decisions that way. If everything you do is based on, I want to please God, if that's something that comes to your mind when you decide every decision you make. In Matthew 22, we have the great commandment, the greatest commandment. In Matthew 22, from verse 37, Jesus is answering the lawyer, and he says, you shall love the Lord with your God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And we'll go ahead and read verse 39 as well. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Is that your goal? To love God with everything you have? When you're making a decision, what should you consider first? Will I be obeying this commandment to love God with all my heart and soul and mind? Well, what does that mean? Well, we can also ask about the second great commandment. Will I be loving my neighbor as myself? Well, will I be loving God with all I am? A very simple first question is this thing that I'm thinking about doing sinful? Well, that's very basic, isn't it? Is it sinful? Fornication, drunkenness, lying, lasciviousness. We could go on and on. There are things that are clearly sinful. And yet people will still decide to be involved in these things, won't they? Why? Because they're focused on the flesh, not on the Spirit. Because their goal isn't to please God, it's to please themselves at the moment. And so we have to look at these things and just say, well, it's ruled out very quickly because it's just plain sinful. Well, also we can think, will it place me around temptation? Because if our goal is to please God, why are we going to be putting ourselves in the way of temptation? If we go places where alcohol is commonly abused or drugs, so think, okay, I want to go to a concert. Well, what kind of things go on at that concert? You say, well, there's nothing sinful about going to a concert. Yeah, maybe, depending on what concert it is. But what goes on there? I don't know what goes on at all of these concerts these days. I know they had a bad reputation in the past. But you need to think about that before you go. You need to consider those things. What about, you can say, well, it's not wrong to go to a bar with my friends. I'm not going to drink. I'm just going to sit there and get some water or Coke or whatever. Is that really smart? You're going to be around temptation. They're going to be pressuring you. You said, but I'm strong enough. Do you need to be strong enough? Why go there and why test it? Do you want to please God? Is that your goal in going there? I heard one brother use this as a way to answer a lot of questions people have. Is it sinful to take one drink of alcohol? Well, why? What's your motivation? Are you taking that drink of alcohol in order to please God? Or is it for your flesh? That makes it simple, doesn't it? You can easily make a decision off of that. You can do that about, is it sinful to dance? Is it sinful to gamble? Is it sinful to do all these things that people want to, you know, go this way and that way about? And, you know, we can say, well, the Bible doesn't specifically say it's sinful, but is your motivation to please God? Are you thinking based on the Spirit or are you thinking based on the flesh? Because if you're based on the flesh, you cannot please God. We have to consider our motivation in making the decisions. Something as simple as spending too much time with somebody of the opposite sex can put you in temptation. I've heard of people who've quit their jobs to get away from temptation like that. That was a good decision, wasn't it? Because their focus was on the right thing. And then you can ask, well, if it's not sinful, if it's not placing me around temptation, just is there something else that God would rather me be doing than this thing? I know video games are very popular among young people and older people now. And that's fine. I like video games every once in a while. But if you're wasting all your time on video games instead of doing other things that God would want you to do, where's your focus? What about having family over? How many times have we seen brethren who miss services on Sunday or any time because they have family visiting and they're taking care of them, entertaining them? Well, that's a great thing to entertain guests, even whether it's family or not family. That's a great thing. The Lord wants us to do that. But there's something more important, isn't there? He wants us to be with the brethren, encouraging, uplifting. And of course, if you bring your guests with you, that's that much better. But what about you're on the way to meet with your brethren and here's somebody in real need of help that you see? Well, the Lord wants you to help them, doesn't he? That's more important than meeting with the brethren. We have to think, what is more important to the Lord at this time? What does he want me to do? Because this thing is good, but now this thing is even better. Let's decide to do what's even better. Keeping your mouth shut. That's very often a good thing, isn't it? Proverbs talks about that. But there are times we don't need to keep our mouth shut. When we have an opportunity to teach somebody the gospel, we don't need to keep our mouth shut. It's much better to open our mouth and share the word of God. That's not always easy. That's rarely easy for some of us. But it's important. We need to think about what's more important. What does the Lord want us to do? What is going to help others as well? And will I be loving my neighbor as myself is the other question we need to be asking. Is it going to hurt somebody? Well, that's something that even atheists can agree is not a good thing, unless it's something like, you know, murdering babies. But physically helping people or hurting people, everybody knows that's a bad thing, right? You know, if we think about violence, we think about not helping those in need, or different things like that, we can see that that's not loving our neighbor as ourself. We would not want that done to us. But also, will it hurt someone spiritually? How do you dress? Do you dress in a way to provoke lust? Do you do things that are going to damage other people spiritually? Do you let children get away with misbehavior? That damages them spiritually, doesn't it? There's all kinds of things that can hurt other people. We need to think about what is our action or lack of action doing for them? And will it help somebody else? Will it help them physically? Yeah. Taking somebody a meal, mowing their grass, whatever. We have lots of things that I'm sure all of you have done in the past and are continuing to do that help people out. And that's good. That's a good decision. If your motivation behind it is right, that you want to please God, that you love your neighbor as yourself. Are you helping them spiritually? Are you making a decision to teach people? Are you making a decision to build people up in worship? Are you making those decisions? Because those are decisions based on spiritual thinking, on a desire to please God. But whatever our decisions are, we don't know exactly how they're going to turn out, do we? We never know what the future is. And so that's why we second guess our decisions. We think, well, you know, we made this decision, but was it really the best decision we could have made? But if our motivation is right, if we're doing things to please the Lord, we're making good decisions. And we need to leave it up to God then, to take care of everything else. In James 4, verse 13 to 15, James says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that." Our decisions are important, but we're not really in control of the future. We can decide things that will impact the future, but we don't know how they're going to impact the future, really. The Lord knows. And if we do what He teaches us to do, if we do the things that are motivated by a desire to please Him, we can just know we're making good decisions, however they turn out. If one day the persecution of the physical persecution comes and we all die because we're faithful to the Lord, that's still a good decision, isn't it? We don't have to worry about the future. We just make decisions based on our desire to please God and let Him take care of the rest.